I am recording this meeting. So this is the Netherland Fire Protection District Board of Directors regular meeting on May the 19th, 2021. This meeting is being recorded. Start out with roll call. Ian Owen-Pell, I am present. Patrick Richardson.
Present.
Todd Weisler.
Present.
Ray Willis.
Present.
Henry Zerberg.
Yep.
And Chief Dare.
I'm here.
Okay, so we have board quorum. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 19:01. I sent out a couple of meeting agendas on the weekend with a couple of changes. There's a couple of late breaking items on the current one. The first one was Patrick Richardson's resignation, which I had to add to our new business section. I'd sent out a previous email about vehicle loan policy. I didn't get that onto the agenda, and I didn't want to, for a change, stuff the agenda. So I've laid that for future business. And then there was a town recognition to Chief Durr that came today from the town. So those are the only changes from the agenda. I make the motion to approve the meeting agenda.
Second the motion.
Todd?
Yes.
Patrick?
Sure.
Yeah.
And Ray, I got you in the background there. I also sent out the minutes from the April 19th meeting. There was one modification that Todd spotted, which was the motion to pay out the wildland funds that we were holding. And Henry also spotted on the motion to bring 5622 back, but that was incorrectly notated as a 500 vote, and in fact, it's a 410 vote. So I've made those modifications, and I'll send that back to Jim. If nobody else has any other issues with those minutes, I make the motion that we accept the minutes for the April 19th meeting.
Yeah, I'll put a motion forward to accept the meetings as amended by the chairman.
Okay, thank you. If you're making that motion, I'll second it. And then Todd?
Yes.
And Patrick?
Yes.
And Ray?
Yes.
We do have some members of the public on the meeting this evening. If anybody has any comments or statements they would like to make to open the meeting, please do so now. Okay, I'll take that as no public comment at this time. Okay, Todd, over to you. Give me a second.
Okay.
And I'll bring up your PowerPoint. There you go.
Okay, thank you. So as far as our fund balance sheet concerns, in our bank account, $469,000 in savings, $25,000 in checking, $6,500 in capital reserve approximately, with a total of $500,000 in our bank accounts. I'm going to ask Kathy why we're showing capital reserve twice. I made a note of that, unless somebody knows right offhand. And then in our reserve balances, we have $237,000. We are still carrying the reserve for wildland fire reimbursement, and that hasn't been adjusted yet. Because, well, one, I didn't tell Kathy until late, and two, she's working with the auditors to determine how exactly to show that in our books as far as the payouts are concerned. Again, we agreed in the last meeting to not hold to pay out the 15% holdback that we do by practice and policy for wildland firefighting. And since the $2,022 error that was noted was actually corrected in the invoice to the state, and it was for vehicle usage, we didn't feel that there's any relationship there. And so also in regards to the account receivable, that $2,022 will disappear. The other thing that I wanted to point out, and I think Henry had a question about it, was the $58,000 in accounts payable, and that's primarily due to the payment of the life packs, which is about $57,000, and then there was another EMS grant payment of about $900 that basically were checks that were paid, but the invoices were dated for May. And so they didn't really hit the April, they didn't hit our April books as an actual expense. So it's a payable that is carried over. And that's about it on the balance sheet. Let's move on to the income. Unless there's questions.
Sorry, muted myself. The answer to your question why capital reserve is showed twice there's a separate bank account for capital reserve, which is why it shows up here.
Okay. It just happens that they're about 17
yeah,
cents
off. In terms of math, I don't think it should show up there. I don't think it should show up twice. I think that's why it is showing up twice. I was just thinking that through.
Okay.
I can talk to Cassie about that.
Okay. And then as far as our income is concerned, we brought in a total of $99,600 for April. Of that, $94,000 was from the tax base, and then $5,500 was from grant income, the Corona Relief Fund income. And we are, ahead of plan so far to date. But of course, that's an equal distribution, showing an equal distribution across the months. Any questions? Okay. Okay, and then as far as expenses are concerned, we show ourselves being overspent by about $6,000 for April. However, a $17,000 liability insurance hit came in, which wasn't really predicted to hit April. And so without that, we would be more in the range of $63,000, which would be underspent. I think that liability insurance payment was planned for a later month. So again, we'll be in the positive in a later month, but still we're $30,000 underspent for, even with that, we're $30,000 underspent for 2021 to April. Questions?
And we would expect that based on our staffing changes, right?
Yeah,
mostly sitting.
Well, and I think also we tend to spend a little bit less than what we predicted. So there's a combination of those two.
Okay.
And then I mentioned, we'll make the adjustments for the reserve values relative to the wild land in the next reporting. Kathy, as I said, is working with the auditor right now to close the 2020 books. We're also, Ian asked Kathy to give us a clear accounting of our retained earnings for 2020. And we wanted to make sure that we kept our wild land earnings separate from our retained earnings that we brought over, that was based on the general tax base. So I think that Kathy reported, Ian, that her tally for the wildland earnings was around $19,000 after we'd make the $2,000 adjustment.
Yeah, so she said that to me today. And just to fill that out a little bit, I've been having a conversation with Kathy about breaking out our retained earnings and wildland earnings, just so we can see what they are, so they're not getting mixed into the general fund. And it just gives us a little bit of a clearer view of what we've brought forward. And that's going to help us to inform our decisions about what we need to spend a little bit better, I believe. What we have to spend.
Very good. And then everything looks it's moving along well, and I don't think there's any adjustments from a financial point of view that we should consider at this time. And that's the report for the month.
Great. Any questions from the board?
Not question, maybe just a comment. Over the past few sessions, I think we've been talking about the capital improvement fund that we're trying to establish. And I was just wondering if you had any further thoughts on that, how we establish that and how we allocate those funds to certain potential projects on the capital improvement side.
Yeah, and that's part of why I want to break out particularly our retained earnings, because last year we didn't reallocate any of the retained earnings into any reserve funds. So pre-audit, So pre-audit, we were looking at a retained earnings of $180,305 that QuickBooks says we brought over. Some of that's the wildland income. $30,000 of that was last year's earnings that came forward from 2019. And the rest came over from 2020. And most of that really was additional income from our property taxes that weren't in the budget. So basically what I'm looking to do is break that out so that we can see that, and then we can start looking at building some reserves or allocating some reserves out of that retained earnings fund.
I mean, I in a perfect world, we would probably like to see a goal of funds and a presumed amount of scope we have to cover with that. Kind of with that conversation, this is a broader conversation, probably not for today's meeting, but down the road, we'll, some departments spend a lot of money on master plans. We, in the past years, we tried to do this somewhat internally or, kind of create an idea what the department or the district's going to look like in 5 to 10 years. I think setting these capital reserve away is going to kind of tie into a in quotation mark a master plan that's going to tell us, you know, what our assets going to look like in 5 or 10 years, so we can kind of set that up and, you know, set a goal aside for these upcoming upcoming years.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. If we want to talk master plan, that may be a work session sometime outside of a board meeting. Open to suggestions on how we'd have liked to do that. But definitely it's, having a direction that we intend for the district to move forward in would be a good thing. Okay, any other comments? Okay, and on that note then, Chief, over to you for your report. Give me a second, I'll find your pieces. There we go.
Oh, thank you. That helps a lot, because I was going to try and do it from memory because somehow I landed at home without a copy. So this states the new hire is done with three of the different forms of testing that we do. I have results on one of the three, and obviously we need to give a favorable head nod before he tends his resignation. So I think we're still on track first or second week of June, but we're pushing towards first. And so you'll know as soon as I know, but that's all on track and looking pretty good. I think I let everyone know that Dan had resigned, and so our officer posting is back up, and we're also doing a bit of a reach out to some of the other agencies that have medic firefighters. I've talked to Boulder Rural, I've talked to AMR, and seems like everybody's working pretty hard. And so Henriksen and I also had a discussion on potentially recruiting part-timers, and we may end up advertising that separately or distinctly. And so I guess we'll go from there on that. As you know, Rick Ford, kind of a resignation sometime several weeks ago, intending to have a reduction in duties effective May 28th. Based on our current staffing situation, he's agreed to fill some shifts for us. Number one, when I take some time off, and he and Charlie are going to work some of that out. And then we have one person interested in some of his duties, and I've asked Rick to oversee that process of transition, which he's agreed to do. And so ultimately, I think he will reduce his hours, but is remaining very flexible and continues to be committed to the department. So I appreciate that. And he continues to help. We had an EMS grant hearing on the Lucas CPR device. I think the hearing went well. It was the second of two. Of interest, tying into a number of the discussions you all just had, I did get asked about what we did with our fire dispatch money. And so they're paying attention and they're looking at financials. And ultimately, this then ties into Henry's discussion regarding the master plan. And although I didn't get hammered, I watched other agencies get hammered about, well, what's your capital replacement plan for devices like defibrillators? So just letting you know that that all needs to fall into the mix as we move forward. But overall, I think the hearing went well. So we'll look at what that looks like for the future. The LifePak 15s are here. They've been placed into service. I still need to finish up the status report and request for reimbursement. And so that'll get us half of that $57,000 back. The state also notified us to some outstanding paperwork for an intubation mannequin grant that was filed. And apparently we received the mannequins in December. I got that paperwork done. That should be about $2,200 that'll be coming back to us. So continuing to have to work on grant stuff. Our ambulance inspection is scheduled for tomorrow. Probably the most significant news I have in my report is that 5631 is out of service. It has some severe front end oscillation, and we have talked to the manufacturer of the lift kit conversion, and Charlie is working on that actively, and so we have a path forward, but for the time being, it's currently out of service. We also identified a steering issue on 5641 that didn't get taken care of in routine service last fall. And so, Ian, that's going to tie into the old business vehicle inspection item that you have for me, that we're currently trying to put out all the fires on various apparatus. I know that I'm trying to get onto the schedule locally for additional inspections on our brush trucks, but we're trying to kind of fix the issues that are cropping up as they do. The Command SUV that I use got rear-ended in late November, I believe, and I finally have that scheduled for body shop and repair end of June or end of May, early June. We had a really good wildland fire training this past Saturday. This is part of the annual RT-130 refresher, and part of the group dug line and part of them did progressive hose deployment. And ultimately, the pretend fire blew over them and they had to do fire shelter deployment. Rick Henriksen and Eric Abramson worked really hard on that. It was reasonably well attended and I thought it was a good scenario. So we've got some positive response on that. Last night, and I'm speaking based on a text, but Rick Henriksen has been working hard to get the wildland urban interface code incorporated into the correct place with town code. And it sounds like a majority of the town board voted to do that last night. So again, he's staying on top of stuff and moving us forward from the code piece and mitigation piece. So that's really great news. A funding request has been sent to Congressman Neguse, and he is planning on a passage through town on Sunday afternoon, and apparently has a bunch of different places on his itinerary. But long story short, I'm scheduled to meet with him and the mayor to try and get their support for funding of the egress route. There's still quite a bit of discussion on route specifics and things like that. But forecast budget was somewhere around $750,000. And I believe we're asking Neguse for $600,000 or a little better. And then town will contribute in there, obviously. But that's really great news, provided that we actually get funded. So there could actually be some reality at the end of this. Boulder Emergency Squad did a swift water floating victim training for us last Thursday, and that was virtual and that was well attended. And so I think a lot of folks, although we've done swift water awareness and even some basic operations, were unaware of all the pieces that come together if we have a floating victim going down Boulder Creek. And so so that was pretty good. Our new recruits, roughly about four of them. One of them ended up having some surgery, I believe, today. And so they're non-response for a little while. But they continue to show up and train and mostly are doing well. There's some paperwork that I'm working on for our EMS continuing education training group. And that's a little more intensive than I expected. And so I've been doing some work on that. Probably one of the more favorable things to report is that I'm also working with AMR on ordering some EMS supplies through them. And for some of our major supplies, they may be able to purchase them 40% cheaper than what we're doing. And I can't really nickel and dime them with every Band-Aid and, you know, splint. But for some of our big orders, and the big advantage is that we may not be stuck with large box quantities when we only need two of something. So they've been pretty supportive and we're working on that. As we look forward for the year, we currently use Firehouse software. We've been on that data management platform since 1996. There are a number of other vendors that do similar things. ESO is the company that bought Firehouse out, and they have their own database that they would love to sell us. I have not seen the bid yet, and it's kind of an a la carte thing, meaning you can buy a hydrant management package and an inspection package and various things. But long story short, I believe end of life for Firehouse is scheduled for, or end of support is scheduled for January 2022. I think we're going to have to put some real money towards the transition to the new software, and specifically for the new software, they will transition our data over for us, or at least ESO will. And I think the only hope on this particular thing is that the current potential new hire has experience with the system that we're likely to select. Also upcoming, our employee assistance program, peer support program, we have negotiated with some mental health providers out of either Greenwood Village or Denver. And we found out that for anybody that takes advantage of that service, it's been pretty burdensome. So when they say, yeah, come give us a visit in Greenwood Village, that hasn't worked out very good. And so I'm currently negotiating with the Northern Colorado Peer Support Group. However, they wish for us to be on a retainer basis. And it's a significant expense, something on the tune of about $1,000 a month. But they would then provide unlimited services. There's a number of agencies directly around us, as you see in the note. Gilpin County is using them. Estes Valley is using them, to my knowledge. And they would help provide training for interior peer support members on our department. So there's a lot of moving pieces to that. I'll give you a proposal at the next board meeting once I have it. But our current EAP isn't working very well. And so these guys come pretty highly recommended. And as we look at, you know, what do we maybe do with some of that wildland reserve? I agree with Henry on we do need to refund our capital reserves, but we may also need to look at this EAP support thing. I think that's end of report, and I can answer any questions.
Appreciate the report, Chief Durr. It's not so much a question, maybe a comment. Do you think there is a play to be had to fill that that missing position right now that we're trying to fill through advertisement from within the department?
I believe that we may have to adjust our expectations, meaning we may have to hire a new medic without fire experience, or we may have to hire a firefighter EMT, advanced EMT with some years of experience that wants to go to paramedic school. And I do think that we potentially have the ability to internally develop someone. Although to be honest, I think that I have very mixed feelings on that. And so there are a number of people that I've thought about. There are some people that have volunteered with our department that have recently gone to paid departments and wish that we had them in our quiver a little more. And so I don't honestly have that answer. What I think is we will have to adjust our expectations, and we may not get a paramedic shift officer that's an expert at everything. It kind of turns out those guys are unicorns. And I certainly am amenable to looking at internal staff development as a potential solution. I do think having experience outside of Ned Fire brings us some pretty good value. So I don't have a hard line on that yet.
Okay, that's fair.
If we went down the hiring like a firefighter EMT with some years of experience, what's the cost to us to send them to P school, roughly?
Significant. And so I think P school was 5,000, maybe it was 6,000 last time. And then functionally, you know, that 6 to 9 months. And certainly when Ryan and Charlie went, we ended up covering a lot of shifts. And ironically, you know, as that continues to be, I'm kind of looking to get some help on the shifts. And so we kind of place ourselves in the same situation that if we hire a firefighter with experience and send them to paramedic school, we really didn't fill any shifts, or at least not many of them. And so I'm not sure that's something we shouldn't do. And to be honest, from a internal staff development opportunities perspective, it's something I would like to do. I'm just getting a little beat up covering shifts. And if it's somebody that's not salary, then we're paying time and a half for every shift covered, unless we can develop a per diem paramedic shift program. And if that in fact is the case, and we can hire per diem paramedic shifts, then maybe we should just staff with them. So it gets hard. Ian, and finish, I'm sorry. There is opportunity for some form of grant funding towards paramedic school reimbursement. And we sought that for one volunteer at one point. And I would think we might be eligible for that again, but it has to be planned out well in advance. I don't know if there's a funding opportunity to cover any of the backfill. I don't know of that. But I did want to also point out to that peer support thing that Department of Local Affairs apparently is currently funding that for Gilpin County at a pretty sizable number. And so we may have some opportunity to gain that peer support through a grant. So that was just a little segue I forgot to give you.
Okay. I mean, obviously that'd be interesting because that's a fairly significant cost to us. I mean, not that I have an issue with
that. I understand.
Just obviously it's out of budget at the moment. Okay. So you're going to follow up with this on the software replacement as well next month, maybe?
That's correct.
Okay.
And, you know, our software isn't going to suddenly stop working, but we do need to make a migration plan. And I emphasize to these folks how much we have invested in their software in the past. They're well aware of it. Apparently the sales rep in Austin, Texas spent time in Nederland and knows the town and the community. So from at least a relationship perspective, it's not a cold call. But I think we're going to see some increase there. So I just wanted to put that on the table.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask, is this some expensive target for 2022, or is this something that we are saying we need this year?
The report management system should be 2022 budget.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'm just letting you know.
Hey, I have one more question. The rear ending, that may have been covered previously, but that's covered by somebody else's insurance since they rear-ended you?
Yeah, the tow truck company.
Cool. Good.
I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Are you going to cover the April stats, or is that I know you had a lot to cover already. But
I didn't get into them. I will answer them. And the only caveat I have for you is the number that I reported last month was incorrect because somebody finger checked the numbers. And so I honestly think we're up around 145 currently. And I think I reported 139 last month.
But what can I answer about the call response?
I was going to ask you, you know, one of the things that I think would be interesting and useful is to, if maybe Jim could add per call the names of the people that were on the call based on the run sheets. And then if we could include a sheet in this Excel spreadsheet that has the members and their status in regards to, you know, what their training is and such. And then like this sheet would be titled April 2022. Next sheet would be May 2022 and so on and so forth. And then the, you know, at the end of the year, we could do some summary statistics on the calls, and see just how we're answering calls. It should be really, I think, maybe a helpful tool.
So Todd, those are canned reports that come out of our RMS. And that's part of why I want to maybe stick with the similar vendor and convert our historic data, because it gives us some pretty good looks into the past. But we run quarterly, and we can certainly do that for any time period, incident response, training response, non-incident response, which is typically standby hours, and some of those other categories. So it will show you how many calls we had for the period, who participated at what level. So I'll make sure that Jim starts including that on a monthly basis.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
There's a few response times in there that are in red. Is there any detail on, looks like four of them?
I only wish there was. So unfortunately, Pat, the 5644 response, I'm unaware of. So the 58 minute, and maybe there's somebody out in the peanut gallery that knows, but that sounds like a West Mag campfire or something.
I think that was the one out at Gross Res.
That could be Gross Res. And I just don't have the details on some of this. Know that some of our EMS calls response time are me coming from home, going to the station, picking up the ambulance, and then going to the scene. And I've had to do that to station one, and we actually did that not long ago, where I actually went to station two and picked up the ambulance and then went to the scene because we didn't get one from station one. So some of that might be what some of those 20-minute ones look like. I can have, I'll work on Jim pulling the details on it though.
Yeah, 20 minutes. Yeah, gosh, it's probably almost not even worth getting the ambulance. AMR would be there by then. But yeah, I was just curious.
I just got a message, I think this one, if I've got the right one, was quote, way up Caribou at 4 o'clock in the morning in a hole. So that's quite a distance to go for. I mean, that's probably not outside the realms of possibility in response and arrival time on that. Yeah, it's 0334. So. Okay. Not seeing, I see the one status one call, which is out of investigation. So. It's not overly concerning, but obviously on those, you kind of do want more people than just one person, depending on what that is.
Ian,
that
odor investigation was a private line call to the fire station from a local business, and Excel was already on scene. And so it isn't as glum as it looks. It was actually staffed appropriately.
Okay. That makes sense. And just going back to the RMSs, I only have that desire to retain the historical context. Are we thinking about other options and other vendors for this?
You know, Rick Henriksen is the one that caught wind of it initially. And so I know there are other vendors, and that's one of the things I was hoping he was going to help me with. And if we get that new employee on staff, we'll go through an evaluation process.
Okay.
We'll certainly meet the threshold for getting bids on other vendors for sure.
Sure, understood.
And then one more question on that. Obviously, we're talking about an upfront investment. Did they give you an indication on like annual support fees on top of that?
I don't have the bid yet, so as soon as I get it, I'll forward it.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. Thank you for that, Chief. Unless there's any more questions. Okay. Give me a second, it's real, guys. So moving on to old business, follow up from me. I chased up CPS on the retaliation complaint. That was slated to be completed this week. It was supposed to be ready for the board meeting. One of our contacts, or Heather, who was running that at CPS, had a medical emergency over the weekend, so unfortunately that got delayed. But it's my understanding that should be going to our attorney this week, so we should get something back soon on that. Employee policy update handbook credits. I had a look around. I had a conversation with our attorneys last year about updating the policy manual. They came in, they said basically to do a review of it is $1,000 to $1,700, and then probably another $1,000 to update it based on what they find. But they've already seen the manual, so they know what's in there. And then any additions that we make obviously would be by an hourly rate. So that number could be variable depending on how many unique policies we want in there. So that's really just something for us to think about, consider which direction we want to go in. Also bearing in mind that the CPS quote, if we run over the time that they've allotted, would also generate further costs. And the third option I looked at there was just doing like a boilerplate policy handbook. You can generate them pretty cheaply, but we would have to do so many changes to modify it to fit our situation that it probably wouldn't be worth doing. So I'll try and get all those together into, I'll get them all together into a complete set of quotes that we can look at. I just haven't had a chance to do that up at this point. Chief, we left pump, hose, and ladder testing for you to follow up on.
That's a funny story.
Did you get a chance to do that?
That's a funny story. So I remember seeing your spreadsheet and you picking a vendor, but I don't think I got any of the original quotes, so I actually don't have any documentation from any of the companies. So if you can forward that up to me, I will follow up on that.
Well, we're on that topic of hose, pump, ladder. Fit testing, SCBA fit testing. probably should. I think we were trying to get it done last year, but I don't know if it did or not.
We got regulator flow testing done May 5th, and we were trying to buy into the Central City Timberline fit testing thing. And then based on COVID, they really had no desire for us dirtying up their machine. But let me reopen that discussion with Timberline, who I think was lead on it, and I'll see where we stand.
Yeah, I think that would be fairly important to make sure that people are wearing the correct size masks.
And then vehicle inspections, Chief. What do you have planned for?
So I need to follow up. Yeah, so I need to, so number one, we're going to do brush trucks at local mechanic, big trucks. I wouldn't say we are 100% happy with some of the work that we had done by the firm that did our inspections last year. I think their inspections are fine. I need to follow up on a repair from last fall that apparently part of it got missed, and a little bit of an allowance to make some judgment on that. So let me get followed up on the stuff that I still know needs to get fixed, and I'll continue to push the vehicle inspection stuff forward.
Okay. Just on that, I know we used Mountain View Shop last year for a couple of things. Have we spoken to them about doing inspections and having a more formal arrangement with them?
I can follow up with Charlie. I wasn't around for any of that, so I don't really have knowledge of it.
Okay, if you could follow that up, because I think we're pretty happy with the work they did. Obviously, they're more in line with the vehicles that we have, and I think they can also do pump testing on site as well.
I think they can. In fact, we lent them our trailer a couple years back, and they liked it enough. I think they bought a mobile unit, so they may even be willing to come up here to test pumps.
Okay, I'll follow up with them.
Okay, any other questions on old business or old business I'm missing? Okay, moving on to new business. The CPS ready the survey that launched, the survey for the Chief's PIP monitoring period. That launched on Monday. We had two meetings last week with people, Q&A session, as just explanation of what it was and what it wasn't. So just to explain the timeline, the survey is open for 2 weeks. There was then a period of 2 weeks after that for CPS to collect the data, produce the report for us. And then after that, the board will need to have we should have that report by the 11th of June. So I'm hoping that we can try and squeeze a special executive session in between the 11th before, so between the 11th and the 16th before our next regular board meeting, so that we have time to discuss those results and we're not trying to extend out a regular board meeting. I'll keep you up to date on how that all falls into place. We've been a year in remote session meetings. A year with this board, actually. I'd like to discuss the possibilities and want to know if people are interested in returning to in-person board meetings, if we're all vaccinated and taking appropriate precautions per whatever the recommendations are at the time. Any ideas on that?
I'm not completely opposed to that, Ian.
I think it would actually be good to have those in-person meetings. Probably have to discuss or decide how we manage the attendance of the public in a smallish room, how that would affect how we conduct our business. But overall, I think we're all vaccinated, or I think we're all vaccinated, and you know, we ought to be able to get together pretty quick again.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to keep the Zoom component as part of the meeting, so I think we can handle the public interaction that way. And I also think that's good to allow easy interaction with the board meeting. I'm sorry I cut somebody off there.
No, I was just wanting to say that I'm very much in favor of having face-to-face board meetings. I think our collaboration will be a lot stronger if we can do that rather than Zoom. And to tell you the truth, I'm getting really, really tired of doing virtual meetings. So I'd be very much in favor of it.
Okay. Any other points of view, comments?
I'm not opposed to it.
Okay.
John Scarf with the Mountaineer.
Hey, John.
I love sitting here in my little home and watching the meetings. But I also really miss the interaction with all of you. And sometimes I think my reports might be better if I were there in person.
That's good to know. I think overall the board interaction would be a lot better. If we can do them in person. So I'll schedule June as a hybrid meeting. Board, we'll see how the next month of COVID plays out, and entirely your choices as to whether you want to join. We'll do it as in person or continue on Zoom. We kind of did a couple of meetings last year as a sort of hybrid thing. I think that worked reasonably well. So I think I understand how we can set that up, so that's good. So, good, okay. Last month we spoke about the additional wildland fire income and the fact that was basically came off the sweat and work of a lot of our volunteers and staff. So I, in my board roundup to everybody, I asked some suggestions on what people thought might be a good way to spend that money. So the suggestions that came in were a staff bonus. That was not from the staff, by the way. Replacing or renewing bunker gear, buying some BK regulars for dispatch. So job shirts with the name and rank of each volunteer. Additional training shelters for wildland training, and then adding to the wildland PPE and pack stock, most of which I think were good suggestions. Obviously, the ones that fit most around the wildland realm are the BK radios, which I know we have a grant out for as well, and training shelters and PPE. Any board input on any of those?
The staff bonus, I'm assuming that also is for volunteers.
It was just floated as a staff thing. We could talk about how that works. I don't really have any, I don't have a major position either way. If it was volunteers, what would be your, how would you see that working?
No, I'll go down soon.
Well, I don't know. I'm not quite sure how we'd go about that, but you know, while we had folks out on deployment, I know that it was certainly a busy fire season here, and along with covering the district and added responsibilities, you know, the volunteers that didn't deploy really didn't see, you know, the benefit other than, you know, getting fellow firefighters back that have quite a bit more experience. So all I'm recommending is that if we do some sort of staff bonus, we cannot forget the volunteers that put in their time to make sure things were running well. So I don't mind the staff bonus, but it should go beyond just paid staff. It should be volunteer staff. And as far as I'm concerned, if you were to ask me out of all these items here, I would make sure that we had a mobile BK radio in the type 6 that we send out, and then at least a mobile or a handheld BK radio for each of the firefighters we send on that truck.
So you're saying three mobile and then three handhelds.
Ian, I'm going to chime in, even if uninvited.
Yep, go ahead.
One of the things I didn't report is that Gilpin made the change to 800 megahertz. And they do have a VHF wildland fire plan. But in a way, they're forcing our hand a little bit into being more 800 megahertz capable. And so tying into what Pat said, local Forest Service, they're still committed to VHF, and they were very frustrated on some of the calls or some of the fires in the fall that they didn't have 800, as example, in Grand Lake. And so they're actually trying to figure out how to resolve the 800 issue internally, even if it's not the true agency direction. So long story short, BK has a dual band VHF 800 that apparently came out in production this year. And I don't in any way disagree with Pat's suggestion regarding the mobile and the handhelds. I guess the thing I'm telling you is there may be an option to do this dual band BK that would satisfy the needs of the truck and also our needs to probably further move forward into the 800 megahertz realm. So I'm just putting that out there.
I do okay. Like, go ahead, Dean.
Go for it, Tom. No, you go.
I was just gonna say, I do like the job shirts with name rank of each volunteer. You know, last year it seemed like there were some issues with understanding the ranks of people that arrive on scene. You know, it's, and again, maybe that's a patch that can be changed out, but that seems like that might not be a bad idea. And then I was going to suggest, what if we put this in front of the team for kind of like somewhat of a vote on what they would like to see? I mean, you already petitioned them in regards to ideas. Maybe they can also vote on what's most popular, possibly.
I think that makes sense. I know we just did an order for just regular t-shirts for members. Did we do recruits as well, Chief, at the same time? I forgot what that order was.
We did recruits, and again, I'm chiming in whether asked or not. I think the job shirts with the name and rank is certainly the most personally visible touch to the volunteers. And I pretty strongly support that. I support the radio thing as well. I support, you know, the bunker gear. That we're already budgeted for that. We've got reserved money for that. Training shelters, you know, it's a trip to Boulder to get two tubs of them. And I've really got light takers on wildland and PPE. We could certainly add some, but not a lot. But I actually like the job shirt idea pretty well. And I think the radio thing is pretty good too.
Yeah, I think I'm probably on the same page as you there, both of those. That's
hey, do you have a grant for new, six new BKs?
We submitted a grant for four new BKs at about $2,500 apiece. And I believe that was Boulder Community Foundation preparedness. And we believe we have a reasonably favorable head nod, but have not received any official notification. But I have an expectation that they will be funded. And then again, we get lost in the weeds. I heard that the dual band BKs were significantly under, cheaper than the Motorolas. And so we'll have to have that talk once we get the grant.
Okay. Do you know what the award date is for that grant off the top of your head?
I think we're going to hear something end of May.
Okay. Okay. So some good ideas there for where we can use that money. Apply some more thought to that, and yeah, Todd, maybe your idea. I'll take the.
Is this with current funds or?
No, this is the. So basically, we have about a $19,000. Not really surplus, but we made about $19,000 on wildland deployments last year. So it's those funds. So this is not anything, this is all outside of budget and current funds.
Personally, I think I'm in favor of all of it except for maybe the staff bonuses.
Henry, any opinion?
No, not really. I mean, I'm going to rely on the chief and the captains to figure this out. I mean, I think they're all great suggestions.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank everybody who got back to me. And then I'll discuss with chief and the captains in that case about how we move forward on that. Okay. On Saturday, I dropped in on the training up at Station 2, the wildland training that was up there, which was all good. It was nice to see as many people up there as we had. It looked like it went really well. I was only there for about an hour or so. But it was good to see that everybody getting themselves ready for our upcoming wildland season. So that was good to see. But while I was up there, I happen to notice the old 5642 parked around the side of Station 2. Chief, plan on disposing of that?
At the end of 2020, I had a buyer on the hook, and he said, you got to let me get through the holiday season. And he certainly has our phone number. He has not he recontacted me in January. And said, I'm still putting the money together, but I haven't heard him since January or February. So I will recontact him. I have a sense he's no longer on the hook and that we're going to have to re-advertise it.
Okay. If you could work on that as time allows, okay, that'd be great. Thank you. Patrick, I'll pass over to you. I'll let you announce this part.
So I will be going to closing tomorrow on the sale of my house here. I will be in the district at least through the end of June. So my last board meeting will be June 16th. And with the FPPA pension, I will meet rule of 80 in the next couple of years. And so I thought it would be wise to start downsizing and work a few years without a mortgage. So that's about it. And I'll certainly fill you in if you'd like to discuss this one-on-one. And I'll have a statement on June 16th.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to say thank you very much for serving on the board and your work in the department outside of the board. Definitely your experience will be missed.
Oh, you're welcome.
But congratulations on selling your house. And, good luck in whatever the future brings for you.
Thank you.
So wait, did I hear Patrick, hiring completely, riding off into the sunset, Patrick?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Are you joining the retired contingent of our department and riding off into the sunset?
Yeah, I got a couple more years, but I, at this point, will be able to get out at 53.
Good Lord. Somehow so, I missed
it. I chose the wrong occupation.
Maybe so.
Awesome. Well, dude, congratulations, man.
Thank you, Henry.
Yeah, congratulations and good luck to you.
Ray, thank you.
And I'm going to chime in. And Pat, I would say thank you as well. I appreciate your help and where we've gotten. And, you know, in your statement, we've made some progress and need to keep moving forward, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, certainly.
Okay. Obviously segueing straight out of that one then. This is something that's going to come up later in the year anyway. And this was something that I brought up in the last election, was a policy for selecting and advertising for new board members. So I basically put together some notes I just pulled up now. I think the big thing for me is that we actually advertise that we have a position open, that we don't try and fill it by just effectively looking ourselves for replacement directors. I find that method to be a little bit underhand. I know it's very popular in special districts to do that. So I'm going to suggest that we put together a policy longer term. Obviously, I'd like to fill this post as soon as we can, if we can get some continuity with Patrick leaving and a new member joining the board, that would be great. But I believe that we should be posting in a public notice in all the usual posting places. So definitely Mountaineer, maybe Daily Camera to hit sort of the wider proportion of our district. And then also use a little bit of social media, so Facebook, and Chief, we could talk about that offline. And then post on our website as well. Offer to take applications by mail or email. And then both the introduction of eligible applicants, so anybody who thinks they'd like to fill the post and wish to come to talk to us about it. And then the selection of those applicants, both should be a public session. And then I put in here like a short interview plus applicant statement. I don't really mean interview as such. It's really just a discussion with the whoever applies as to really what they think they can bring to our board. And I know there are some skills that we could, that people have that are out there that we could certainly use. Any other director comments on this?
I think this looks great, Ian. Maybe the only comment is on the very first line, the policy to select a new board member. I'm thinking this should read to the policy to appoint a board member for a a current vacancy, because you're in the second paragraph, okay. You have the period of service, and this would only apply for the current replacement of a vacancy till the next election.
Correct.
I think other than that, I think these steps are right and they look fine. And I think we'll get some responses on it.
Yeah. And just as in the wider scopes on the election that we have coming up next year, I'd like to see us do the posting and the advertising that we're having an election and that we're looking for, or that there's the potential that we'd need three directors now. And interested parties can contact us and can put together some kind of this is what the board does package. So people understand, you know, what's entailed in the process of being on the fire department board. I feel there's a lot of experience out there that we could use. People sometimes just forget we exist as a board. They don't forget we exist as a department. Anybody else?
I think it looks good, and I'm in agreement with it.
Okay. Quick comment for John. I do have a notice for the vacancy. I just need to run it past our attorney. So hopefully I can get that to you to get it into next week's Mountaineer. And then I'll also ask you and Barbara if we can run that for a few weeks to see if we get any response on that. That would be great if you can do that for us.
That would be wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank Appreciate you so much.
It. Okay, so I'll work on the policy because there is some elements of legal in there that would need to get past our attorney. Just to make sure we've got all the right language, same as the statement. Once I've got the statement together, I'll send it out to the board. Hopefully, I'll send the statement as I got it at the moment to our attorney tomorrow. Hopefully, he'll get it back by Friday. Keep an eye out in your email for that.
Can you send that to me also?
I will do. Yeah, once I got it vetted by the attorney to make sure that I'm not making any glaringly obvious mistakes, because I'm not a lawyer. Right. Special district law is its own special complicated.
Good.
Okay. I had a comment that came to me about loaning of vehicles to staff and members, and I sent out a sort of deliberative document to the board earlier this month. And so I forgot to table this into this meeting. So if you want to put it onto future business, we need to talk about vehicle loan policy, as we don't have one. It does occur. And we just need to make sure, really, the bottom line is that we're making sure that the district is not opening itself up to a liability claim by loaning out vehicles. There's other complications involved in that, and I explained that in that document, but I'd like to discuss that certainly next month and move that forward. Does anybody else have any items that they might want to put in future business or any comments on the vehicle loan? I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on it. I'll take that as a no. Is there any public comments or statements based on the information presented in this meeting so far this evening? Okay, I will also take that as a no. In the any other business section, Larissa sent out an email last week saying that she was creating a spreadsheet of all of our bunker gear and sizes and condition. So I'd like to thank her for trying to organize that and put that together. I know we go through this this process occasionally, but if we're going to start looking to buy replacement bunker gear or equip our new volunteers with bunker gear, I think this would be incredibly helpful. So I'd like to thank her for doing that. I did have a member come up to me and take me to one side and say that they would like to thank and recognize Charlie for all the work that he's been doing with volunteers and finishing rookie books. Said that he feels that Charlie goes the extra mile in doing that. So thank you, Charlie. We appreciate you doing that. That's very important. Helps people move forward. And then finally, from the town today, if I'd say the town wanted to recognize Fire Chief Durr for his contributions towards the Big Springs egress. And I'll just read this into the record. So Netherland Fire Protection Chief Rick Durr is being recognized tonight for his staunch advocacy for creating an emergency egress out of the Big Springs neighborhood. He has been advancing this initiative for over two decades and is currently working with a committee appointed by the mayor to consider the best routes built first. Chief Durr would like to see at least two routes constructed eventually to ensure the safety of all. In his most recent efforts, he has assisted town staff in applying for federal funding to construct an egress. He provided essential technical information in response to several last-minute questions from the funders. Based on his input, the funding request was considered complete, and the emergency egress has moved to a short list of regional projects supported by Congressman Neguse and his team. Thank you, Rick, for all you've done to the community. Thank you, Rick, for all you have done and continue to address this critical need for our community. So Chief Dad, I'd just like to recognize you and thank you for the work that you've done on the egress. It's great that the town sees that too. So congratulations, Chief.
Yeah, this is great that getting recognized. And I also want to extend, you know, many thanks to Larissa and Captain Schmidtman for their work and congratulate Chief Dorr.
Thanks, Rick.
Of course, thank you.
Of course, you gotta at some point provide a current picture of yourself, not use the one from 1980.
Pre-grooming policy. Thank you very much. I noticed it too.
I don't believe that picture's that old, actually, but. We won't get into that. We're not going to get hanging up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get a good photo.
Okay. We don't have a special executive session for this evening. Okay, we have no special meeting conclusions. The next meeting is on June the 16th at 7 p.m. Unless anybody else has any other business, I'd like to make the motion to adjourn this meeting.
I'll second.
Yes.
Henry?
In favor.
And Patrick?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you all for your time this evening. I will get the items out to you that I discussed. Meeting's adjourned at 2021.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you later.
Good night.
Good night.